Well, here we are. Are all these new tools that we can use to communicate, are they tools or are they time wasters? And so if you look down this book, Facebook was just ass. I have a Facebook account. YouTube, I just uploaded my first YouTube video a couple days ago. Of course, I've participated in webinars. I do a little Skyping. We have Polycoms in all of our extension offices and are utilizing them. I'll talk about that a little bit more later. I blog both with my wheat producers and my Master Gardener program. And I don't do MySpace, and I've just started tweetering. So we can talk a little bit about that. How effective is it, and is it really where we're headed? And, you know, we've already had several presenters talk about relationships, how important relationships are. Well, is this a relationship or is it the more traditional relationship? How is that going to look in the future? When we look at the percentage of farms with computer access across the United States, it is obviously on the increase. And in the West, we're really leading the nation in computer access for on farms. Computer usage and ownership in the United States on farm is up. In Oregon, we're like in the top five in all the categories as far as computer ownership, computer use, internet access. Oregon really is up in the top 10 in all those categories. And of course, over the years, I've heard people say, well, but they're on dial-up, slow connections. They can't get it. Well, I want you to know that in the last survey that NASP put out, Oregon had switched, like half of them had gone to DSL or to satellite connections. So they really are using the internet, and now they can download and access some of those programs that used to be a real pain. Well, we are all about change and extension, really. You know, we're there to answer questions and help solve problems, but if we don't help them change to a more productive system, in my opinion, we've failed. So I am interested, after being in the ag industry for 30 years and in extension for 12, I'm interested in what makes us good influencers and how do farmers decide to make changes in their operations. So on my sabbatical in 2007, I started a survey, and I conducted it throughout northeastern Oregon, which is the area that I'm in. So up here, there's about seven counties. We're huge, big counties up in our area, and I conducted a survey. And I didn't want to bias my survey by using extension mail list, because those are our clientele. So I went to the Oregon Department of Ag's private pesticide list and got my sample potential people there from the database at the Department of Ag. So from about 1,000 names, I sent out 614, and I got 147 back for about 24% return rate on my survey. And this just gives you, this slide here tells you a little bit about the age, and we've heard age mentioned this morning already. And this, a huge percentage are over 40, and so that's pretty typical in the state of Oregon. I think our average farm owner age is 58 now. So they are aging. The people that responded, 74% of them had some sort of post-high school education. There were a lot of four-year and even graduate. A couple farmers that I work with on a regular basis have their PhD. So they were highly educated, the respondents. And you'll see here that 88% either were owner-operator, managers. So these were the managers of the farms. And then an additional 10% just identifying themselves as landowners. And on the average years of management experience of my respondent was 35 years. So a little bit older than you guys. A lot of experience there. So I asked the farmer, who do you talk to before you make a change? And so we see here that 64% of them talk to their family, and 45 talk to friends, 42 consultants, and then 34% talk to a researcher or extension. And you might kind of lump those two together. In our environment, we often call extension people researchers and vice versa. So they do consult us, but we see the influence of the family here and the family dynamics, and then friends. One of the things that's interesting, I had an others category, and some people didn't mark friends, but on other they wrote neighbor. So I guess that neighbor wasn't a friend, but they were consulting him about before making a change on his farm. So that's some of the rural dynamics issues that were raised earlier in the session. Well, then I just went through and counted up how many people did they talk to. Did they just talk to one, or did they talk to six? And so you'll see here that a lot, 28% only talked to one other person before they made changes. And two, and then it's interesting, we got a little spike on five. So I guess if they were a real social person, you know, that we have some social people that really do a lot of searching for information before making a change. Well, then we talk about sources. So a surprise to me, now this was specific to making a change on the farm. And so one of the most popular information source was the popular press. So in our area, that would be like, you know, the East Oregonian or the Walla Walla Bulletin and that sort of local newspaper that tend to have an ag page maybe once a week, depending on what kind of reporters they have at the moment. So that was surprising to me. Then we have several big farm newspapers in our area. The Capital Press is a big one, and then another smaller one. The university publications, field days, extension newsletters, and then the web is at 33%. So it is a source, but it's not probably as significant a source. But I imagine if I'd asked them 10 years ago, I would have gotten a much lower number. In my own program, in Umatilla County, about 7 years ago, I did a survey, and the web use of my growers at that time was at about 10%. So it is on the increase, and it is something that they're using. And then there's 32% is other. So these are the sources that they identified themselves as using in order, before they make a decision, or that's that they use to make a decision. So there were several other questions I didn't really have time to cover today, but I asked them, what do they think the biggest change was coming? And this was an open-ended question, and they actually wrote out an essay about what they thought. And then I went back through all those answers and categorized them. And so the biggest change and challenge that they see coming is economically based. So that's a huge concern. And technology, while they identified that as some of the biggest change they'd seen in the past, you know, they don't see that as high. I thought that was interesting. And then the biggest change, environmental concerns, a social change was identified as those kind of things would be like, is my family going to want to stay in farming? Is my son going to want to come back? Is the city going to grow too big and take over the land that I'm trying to farm? Some of those kind of social changes. And then government regulation was another one that was identified as a big change that they saw coming. Well, then I asked them, how could we meet those needs? So financial was the biggest one. It was funny. You know, they'd say, just give me money. You know, that will solve my future. But the amount of financial needs and desire, that was what they we're really asking for. And then, of course, our favorite is research. And it is the second highest response I got on how we could help them, what they were going to need, the sense that they need research in order to meet the challenges of the future. So I think that that is a continuing need. Then the social, government change, technology, advocates, those are all down there in a lower range than the financial and the research. So those are all important ways that they see their needs being met in order to meet the future. Well, so what does that mean to Extension? Well, I think that Extension, you know, we want to meet their future needs. We want to be a viable influencer in the ag arena. But in our university right now, you know, we're cutting positions, not adding positions. So how do we meet these challenges? And while we're agronomists and we love to fight weed problems, you know, there's a real need for financial management. And there's a need for research and technology adoption. And as it's been mentioned already, it's challenging to meet this diverse set of needs that we have out there, growers. It'd be nice if we just needed to identify the next insect problem that came up. But it's a little more broad-based. And then we have to take into the family dynamics and the need to help them in succession planning, estate planning. We've done program in that area, and it's amazing. We have a great turnout and in succession planning and estate planning. So I'd love to just fight weed problems and insect problems, but I think the challenges are much more diverse than that. And I think that we can utilize the web as a source. And for us in this transition period, I think it's to our best advantage to go ahead and use those technologies, but recognize that we're going to need to actually kind of continue a dual track where we provide the traditional approach, but we also embrace the technology and utilize it to be a good influencer in the agricultural issues.
Very good. Well, we have a couple minutes for a few questions, and we can spill over into the discussion period as well. So does anybody have any questions for Mary?
I'm just wondering, and I don't know if you've looked at this at all, but whether through surveys or just anecdotally, are there differences in this sort of thing between your farmers out in, you know, northeastern Oregon, which is fairly rural, and say the farmers in the Willamette Valley, who are much more peri-urban and much more, you know, working directly with a very large market right at their doorsteps?
The question is are there differences between the rural Northeast Oregon with a very limited population base versus the Willamette Valley, which is down in the Portland area, where there's a lot of population? Certainly, I think the social issues are much different in the two areas. Obviously, there's some marketing differences that can be taken into account. I think we see programming where we add market value and direct marketing, and I see those working where there's a large population base. But in our area where, you know, we're growing hundreds of thousands of acres of wheat and don't have any irrigation in order to do some specialty crops, I think that those marketing is limited. And yet the social dynamics of keeping a family unit together is very challenging in our rural area. The call to the city or to the call to higher incomes in the job related that we find in the city draws those younger generations away. So we love our rural area, the farmers love it, but you know, it's a challenge to see it remain viable as an economy. Thank you.
Okay, another question. Mary, when your survey, you had 61% of the respondents were using Extension publications. How are they accessing those publications? Because we don't print publications materials anymore. that embedded in that number? Do you know if they were accessing those online?
Yeah, you know, I guess the question is where were they getting their extension publications from? And I guess I didn't embed that in the survey question. From my own personal experience, I would say that sometimes we print them up and hand them out at meetings. But you're correct. Most of it's online now. They get online and they print them. You know, I have a website that's been going for 10 years, and it is utilized a great deal. And sometimes I'll get calls. It's like, I need this extension publication. I said, it's on my website. Oh, I can't find it. Well, okay, let's just walk through the pages until we can find it for you. You know, but yeah, it is utilized a lot. There are a lot of publications downloaded off the web. I think that it's still important to have a physical paper handout at meetings, though, so we kind of end up running more copies out of our office than we used to.
You mentioned the calling to go to the cities for younger people. You know, I guess I'm thinking also that a lot of these operations are getting big enough in the past.
Okay, so let me see if I could paraphrase that. The question is we're seeing both people or younger generations moving away from the farm because we haven't been able to sustain enough family members in order to have viable income. I've seen that happen over my 30 years in the industry. And then now with the expanded size in our operation, are we seeing more viability there for multi-generations? I'd say in our area right now, we are having some younger kids come back to the farm. And I have a family that I'm working with, the fourth generation now, where the young son is starting to run the operation. And we are seeing that. I think it's, I don't know, there's a lot of things that factor into that. But it's still difficult for the typical farm to have more than like two families that are depending on the actual income from that operation in order to have, you know, a living standard that's acceptable. So I guess that was my typical extension app answer. It depends, right?
Thank you.
Well, let's thank Mary.